Hello, good morning. If you would turn with me to Jonah chapter 3. Let's just pray first. Father, we thank you for this morning. Give us ears to hear and a heart to receive what you're saying to us today, and that we may encounter you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So in Jonah 2, Jonah not really repented, but kind of was praying and giving God all this thanksgiving. And then at the end of Jonah chapter 2, he was thrown up out of the whale or the giant fish. And now chapter 3. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and proclaim to it the proclamation which I am going to tell you." So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, a 3 days' walk. Then Jonah began to go through the city 1 day's walk, and he cried out and said, "Yet 40 days, and Nineveh will be overthrown." Then the people of Nineveh believed in God, and they called a fast and put on sackcloth, from the greatest to the least of them. When the word reached the king of Nineveh, he arose from his throne, laid aside his robe from him, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat on the ashes. He issued a proclamation and it said, "In Nineveh, by the decree of the king and his nobles, do not let man, beast, herd, or flock taste a thing. Do not let them eat or drink water. But both man and beast must be covered with sackcloth. And let men call on God earnestly, that each may turn from his wicked ways and from the violence which is in his hands. Who knows? God may turn and relent and withdraw his burning anger so that we will not perish." When God saw their deeds, that they turned from their wicked ways, then God relented concerning the calamity which he had declared he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. Amen. So at the beginning, it already says, "Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time." So in Jonah 1, he was already called the first time, but instead of going east to Nineveh, he went west. So he basically ran away. And that just brings a lot of hope to us, right? Maybe there were times where we felt called to do something by God and we refused, but there will be other chances, right? We have maybe not the exact same thing like Jonah, but there are many chances. And that just shows, I think in this story we can focus so much on Jonah, but we also need to focus on the other main character, which is God, right? And we see here that God, because oftentimes we look at the Old Testament, God as not so nice, bring destruction, and it's only until Jesus came in the New Testament that he's loved. But no, he was already same character, right? And we see here, God is giving Jonah chances, right? Despite his disobedience, he gave him chance, go back to Nineveh. And he says to Jonah, "Arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and proclaim it the proclamation which I am going to tell you." If you turn to verse chapter 1, he says, "Arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." So it's a little different. In chapter 1, he kind of tells Jonah exactly what to say. And in the second one, he just says, "I'm going to tell you." So he's not going to reveal to Jonah what he's to share until he does. And maybe, I was thinking, like God sometimes does that with us too, right? He just doesn't give us the full picture of exact, like, for instance, we're called to do something, but maybe the details he hasn't revealed. But sometimes he also gives those details. So looking at Jonah in chapter 1, where he was basically, he heard exactly what he had to do, he ran away, right? And maybe I feel like sometimes God knows what's in our heart, that if he did give us the full details, we would maybe run away, or maybe we would just, I think for a lot of us, it's we would be so independent, right? Basically, thank you for all the details. I don't need you anymore. But in this case, and I think of also like Moses was also in that situation, but he cried out for God's help, and God said, I'll give you the words. And so we need to just be continue to walk in faith and dependence on God, right? Even if he gives you your calling, your vision, because I see that all a lot with, it seems like a pattern where people are so happy, they feel like I'm entering this new season of my life, and they feel like God was the one who led them to that season. And because they feel so reassured and assured that God was the one who led them into it, when they actually step into that season, they're totally reliant on themselves. It's really weird. They're totally reliant on themselves and confident and independent because they feel like God was the one who brought them there. But because they're so reliant on themselves when they're there and they're operating in their own strength, things don't always work out for the best. And they're like, and then they blame God. God, why? You told me to come and do this, and I sacrificed all this to do this for you. I'm like, but then when you did it, you're completely reliant on yourself. So we need to stay reliant, right? And I think in this case, maybe, I don't know, maybe God was concerned what would have happened. So he's this time just saying, you just go, and I will tell you when you get there. And so in verse 3, it says, so Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. And Nineveh was an exceedingly great city. We get to verse 4, end of verse 4. And then Jonah began to go through the city's one-day walk, and he cried out and said, yet 40 days, and Nineveh will be overthrown. And so this is the English translation. Apparently in the original Greek, it was actually just 5 words. Here it's 8 words. So in the original, it was just 5 words. So it doesn't say, so I'm not sure if Jonah, if those were exactly what God said, and Jonah repeated it. Or he like kept it to a minimum, right? The way I was kind of processing it was, it'd be like on Sunday service, I've been praying, and then God says, preach a message on love. And then I came up, and I said, God loves you. And then I said, amen, and finished the service, right? So I'm obeying, but am I like giving my best to really convey it? Because this is by far probably the shortest sermon ever in some ways. No, not some ways. It is. It's the shortest message ever by a preacher. And I mean, obviously the results are amazing. But if we're looking at the content of this message, it's really lacking. Right, there's a lot of things wrong with this message. Yet 40 days and Nineveh will be overthrown. I mean, a lot of questions. What did they do? Right? What did they do? What do they need to do? No mention. Right? And there's not even any mention of how it will be overthrown, like exactly. And there's not even a single mention of God. It's like, what kind of message is this? So either way, if we're looking at how God responds, it's amazing, right? And perhaps some people think, you know, yeah, Jonah, he was obedient and he just did this and just spoke this super simple message and God's amazing and responded. Or that Jonah actually withheld, right? Because if you know, he hates the Nineveh, this nation or the city of Nineveh, because it's the Assyrians. It's like the enemies of the Jews. It would be like during the Holocaust, right? And someone was told, a Jew was told to go to Germany and speak there. And then he knew if you spoke there and shared the message, everyone in Nazi Germany, including Hitler, would be saved, right? So I imagine someone like Jonah, he's kind of, in his heart, that's a struggle. It's like, I hate these people, Lord. And in some ways, he hates God for loving this people and wanting to bring transformation. And so he just preaches this message. That's it. Yet 40 days and Nineveh will be overthrown. And what's interesting about this word overthrown, it has this meaning of overturning, right? But it also has a secondary meaning of transformation. And so Jonah, I imagine in his heart, is really focusing on the nation being overturned, destroyed. But ironically, it has a second meaning of being transformed. And then just from this ridiculously lacking message, the greatest response and revival ever breaks out. It says, then the people of Nineveh believed in God, and they called a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest to the least of them. When the word reached the king of Nineveh, he arose from his throne, laid aside his robe from him, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat on the ashes. And then he makes a decree that not only everyone should do that, but even the animals. Crazy. So people just hear this and instantly they feel convicted. They know why, which is because they were being so wicked in their ways, and they know what they need to do. They need to repent. So they put on, it says, they put on sackcloth and sat in ashes. So I was like, well, what's that? So the sackcloth is like a burlap sack, right? So it's really scratchy, really uncomfortable. If you've heard of that story, like Paper Bag Princess, have you guys heard of it? Paper Bag Princess? Maybe it's a Canadian thing. Anyway, so literally it's like a giant sack, and they would like flip it upside down, cut holes in the top and like in the arms. Imagine a giant rice bag. A giant rice bag. Kind of that, it's like a coarse material, right? But it would be brown. So they put that on, and it's really scratchy and uncomfortable. And then they would sit on ash and maybe put some ash on their forehead. And what the ash represents is like penitence? Is that the word? Penitence. Or like repentance. So all these things, why do they do that? It's their outward sign of repentance, right? So there's this inward repentance that's going on, but they let it also be shown outwardly. And it's crazy. So the people just do that. The king just hears about what's going on. He just gets instantly convicted. And then he makes a decree that everyone has to do that, including the animals. Like, what does that do? But even the animals, because, I mean, this was the thing. They didn't take what happened for granted, right? They knew the king, the people, they knew they deserved destruction. And so it says, this is what the king says. He says, who knows? God may turn and relent and withdraw his burning anger so they will that we will not perish. Who knows? He did not presume that, oh, if I do this, step A and B, C, D, that I will be forgiven. And that's a good reminder for us. Don't take sinning and forgiveness for granted. I think we do that, right? Because it's true. The Bible says if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness, right? So we go, and that just shows who God is. But as a person who's, if we've sinned, if we've stumbled, and we go before, okay, honestly, most of us, when we make a mistake with God, when we sin, we make mistakes. Most of the time, we actually make it about ourselves, right? It's like, oh, I can't believe I messed up in this way. I'm such, like, we feel, it's like about us. I feel so crappy. And then we go, oh, God, let me go and ask for your forgiveness so I don't feel crappy, right? That's not the point of forgiveness. Forgiveness is you did, this is bad grammar. I don't know why I'm saying like this. You done someone else wrong, right? You done someone else wrong. So it's actually not about you when we repent. It's about the other person, right? You're apologizing. So, and when you do that, you can't expect, like, we can't expect forgiveness. Well, we can, but what I mean is we, from God, we expect it, right? But it's also, we receive it because we know it's grace. We don't deserve the forgiveness, but we receive it. And that's the same with, especially in our relationships, right? When you go to someone, the reality, I mean, and this is why we need to be, what's the word? Strong or, there's a, can't think of the word. We need to be strong in our relationship with God and people and not take it for granted. The reality is, if you, for instance, let's use Cindy and Ben. If Cindy did something wrong to Ben, right, and she asked for forgiveness, she can't expect it from him. Like, oh, you're a Christian. It's true, but you're a Christian, so you have to forgive me. Because if with that attitude, it's already, you're missing it. If Ben, because you did something wrong, you deserve consequence. So if Ben is to forgive you, it's grace, right? And also the reality is, yeah, you got to really protect your friendships and relationships, because if you do something wrong in the relationship, it's going to affect it, right? They can forgive you, but that doesn't necessarily mean you're still friends, right? Because the trust has been broken. They forgive you for what you did, but the relationship can change. And so, that was a little tangent. But it does seem, right, based on the actions of repentance and sincere repentance, right? Because if they just did things outwardly, put on the sackcloth, put on the ash, that in itself is just an action. But clearly God sees the heart of man. So he saw the hearts of the king and everyone. He saw his actions, like, oh my gosh, let's put on this burlap cloth and ash, and hey, let's, well, nationwide, everyone's fasting. Let's even make the animals fast. Crazy. Let's make the animals fast, and even they should put on a burlap cloth. So they're like making little animal outfits, burlap cloth, so the animals being comfortable. And God was moved, right? When we repent sincerely, and you can see here, even I think as intercessors for nations, on behalf of the nations, if you're really crying out to God, repenting, God's heart is moved. And as a result, God relented concerning the calamity which he had declared he would bring upon them. and he did not do it. So, invite Cindy up. But I want to really just focus on the point today is what God is capable of doing, right? We look at Jonah, five-word sermon with, in some ways, the most lacking material, and God does the greatest revival miracle, right? And that just shows what God can do with us, with so little, right? And I've experienced that actually a lot of times when I preach, is right, sometimes I prep so much and it's terrible, just objectively. Sometimes I prepare so little, it's terrible. Sometimes I prepare a lot or a little, and then it's like really good in my objective assessment. And I just come to learn a lot of things. It's just, it's up to God, right? And so we just need to really humble ourselves and recognize it's not by our effort, right? Or how hard we try sometimes. We always give God our best, but we recognize that in itself is never enough. And God can use Jonah to speak a five-word sermon and just do the craziest miracle. That would be awesome. So let's just go before the Lord, and I think we can just offer him all our abilities, all our effort, and recognize even with these gifts, without him, it is not enough. And what we really need is just him in our lives to just work a miracle.
What a friend. I've never known a love like yours. No, I've never known a love like yours. I've never known a love like yours. Oh, Jesus, what a Savior, what a brother, what a friend, lifter of the lowly. God, you meet me where I
Let's pray for our community. Let's cover those loved ones dealing with cancer, chemo, radiation therapy. Pray for healing. Pray for strength, both physical and emotional. Let's pray for those who are listed for illness and salvation. Pray for opportunity for the Word of God to be shared, for them to have ready and receiving hearts as well. Several also pray for those suffering from infirmities. Let's cover those on the job list. Calvin, Tammy, David, Conrad. Pray for God to open doors, to lead them to the job that God has called them to be at. Let's cover our Thursday prayers. Thursdays, let's go to first our mission focus. Let's cover Singapore, Indonesia, our local spin ministry, and there's also the Indonesian mission trip that's happening right now. So please cover that, and that's also New York. Let's also cover our education ministries, Noah's Ark, and praise God, the third floor is finished, and then let's also cover the youth and also SPU. Let's also cover prayer and healing, IP, the well, and river. Let's pray for God to come to really use these ministries to bring restoration and healing to our members. Cover our Thursday outreaches. Let's cover SP Lights and Homie Outreach. Yes, Father, Lord, we thank you for today and the message, Lord. I just pray, Lord, that we would just pursue you wholeheartedly, Lord, ready to obey, God, wherever you lead us. We would go, God, because we recognize that with you and with you by our side, we can accomplish the impossible, Lord. Without you, we can only accomplish what we are limited to accomplish in our own strength, Lord. So, Lord, would you come, just lead us today, lead us to be bold, lead us to obey, let it lead us to just have a heart that is, full of repentance, but also a heart that just seeks after you wholeheartedly and just really treasures your heart, Lord, and that in some ways we would also really desire to protect your heart as well, Lord. So we thank you. We just pray all this in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen, everybody. Have a great day.